Thanks for joining us for another great message from Futures Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to futures.church. And now for our message.
What a good morning it's already been. So that getting up on Easter Sunday morning, we got up early and went for a walk and prayed. And then about 6 o'clock, while it was still dark, Sean said, we've got to go out. And our kids, they're 13 and nearly 10. And they have made sure we understand that as long as they live in a house, we still have to put out Easter egg hunts for them. And I found out that's true. And so we went out at 6 a.m. I went outside and started hiding eggs in the garden. I was barefoot, and it was there as I was walking through my garden, I found out that my dog Buddy had laid an Easter egg for me on the lawn. And let me say, it was not chocolate. So it was an interesting start at our Easter egg hunt. Anyway, fantastic. But today we're here not to talk about chocolate. We're not here to talk about my dog Buddy. We are here to celebrate Jesus. Amen? Today, that's all I want to do. I want to share with you and celebrate that name that is above every other name, the fact that Jesus is our champion. He is our victor, he is our savior, he is our king, and he is our Lord. You know, all around the world today, in buildings like this, large, small, people are gathering together and cramming into buildings to sing and declare about one name, and that name is Jesus. His name is written on banners and flags and shirts and screens and hearts all around the world. It's a name that retail is shutting for. It's a name that governments give public holidays for. It's the person whose beautiful churches are built all around the world where people go just to look at the beauty to honor the name above all names. His book on his life is the greatest seller of all time. His teachings are known and repeated with and without awareness all throughout the world. All of history has been divided before and after his birth. His name is known by 90% of the billions of people that are on this earth, but not only by the people on this earth, by every angel and demon, some of which worship, some of which tremble, because there is one name that is above every other name, that every knee shall bow and tongue confess. His name is Jesus, amen? And he is our champion. Why 1 Corinthians 15 says, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death and gives law, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God. That's what we've come to do today. Thank God. Come on, can we just thank him this morning? But thank God. He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is our champion. Amen? We love a good champion. We love someone. We feel like we need champions. In sport, we have people like Michael Jordan or Kathy Freeman. In humanity, we have a Mother Teresa or a Neil Armstrong that did things we couldn't. In politics, we have a Winston Churchill or Nelson Mandela. In art, it's a Michelangelo or a Beethoven. In business, it might be like Steve Jobs or Elon Musk. If we can't find one, we'll make one up and imitate them, like Maximus Decimus Meridius out of Gladiator. And all of our life, we're told to follow champions. In fact, we're told we're champions, that we're the answer, that we need self-dependence and self-reliance to get ourselves out of trouble. Because if we can't see a champion, we'll try and be the champion. And we often then read the Bible, and when we do so, we think that we would have been the victor in the story. We tell ourselves that if I was in the garden, I wouldn't have eaten the apple. And that if I was Abel's brother, I would have been so glad for him that he gave the better offering. I wouldn't have been jealous. I would not have jumped in that exciting tower building project at Babel. That I absolutely would have spent decades of my life building the ark if God had asked me to build the ark. If he had told me to go to Nineveh, I would have packed my bags and I would have gone straight to Nineveh. I would have bounced the eyes the moment I saw Bathsheba. I would have taken my stones and I would have run at Goliath to bring him down. I absolutely would have left my nets and followed Jesus into payless ministry without even discussing salary. I would have given away my lunch to anyone that was hungry, and I would have never denied Jesus. That's how we often read the Bible. We read it and we put ourselves in the position of the victor, of the person that championed and the person that made a way. And we have favorite scriptures. Like my favorite scriptures include, I am more than a conqueror. That everything is possible if I just believe. That he's turning it all around for my good. But if I'm honest, and if we're real, sometimes I fall short. And sometimes I rebel. And occasionally, I'm the victim. And I absolutely panic at times. And there are moments where my will is not strong enough, or I am not generous enough, or I am the coward. Because if I'm real and I was in the garden, I probably would have made apple pie, because I love it. And even just thinking about my brother giving a better offering, I'm already annoyed at Abel. And I love a group tower building project. And I've never rowed a boat, never mind built a boat. And I absolutely would have run away from my Nineveh calling because I wouldn't have wanted to stand in a city and tell them that they were all going to die. And Shana, there was no way though I would look at Bathsheba. But I probably wouldn't have. I probably wouldn't have run at Goliath. I'm probably one of the shaking soldiers that are standing on the sidelines. I may not have left my career to go into payless ministry if a stranger asked me. And for all the people that get hangry, there's no way that you would have shared your lunch with anyone. And the truth is, I've denied Jesus too. And it's okay to maybe admit this today, because you don't have to be the champion, because you have the champion. You don't have to be the victor of your life because you have one that has been victorious. Is that you don't have to be king and lord because we have one that is king and lord. We have a champion. It's that everything is possible for those who believe in him. It's that he's turning things around for his good. It's that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. So I don't have to be king today, and I don't have to have it all together today, and I don't have to be victor today, and I don't have to be perfect today. I don't have to be a champion today because I have the champion today, and his name is Jesus. He wins the battles. He is the good news. He is our salvation. He is our champion. He is Jesus. And Philippians tells me, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is one King, there is one Lord, there is one victor, there is one champion, and it is not you and me. Today we come and celebrate that there is one that is seated high on the throne far above all things, and that name we worship is Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, let's praise him this morning. These days like this, we don't need to hear another message of you can do it or you've made it. Today like this, we remember that he did it. And all we have and all we are is because of him. That in all of history and all of humanity, he is victor. But then what about death? Because death seems to win every time. And the truth is, at some point, even though we celebrate here today, one day we all die. And we don't want to talk about it because it feels like ultimately then we lose. And that there's loss, and we're defeated. And that even Lazarus, who Jesus rose from the dead, eventually died again. And it's the one thing that we all have in common because it always seems to win. And we fear it. For honest, we do. It's why we structure our whole life and live our whole life putting mechanisms in to make sure that death doesn't win over me. It's why we take pills and to try live longer. It's why we people have plastic surgery to look like they're not aging because we can't admit that we actually are allowed to get older. It's why we have seatbelts. It's why we have Heimlich maneuvers. It's why we have puffers. It's why trampolines aren't fun anymore. Remember when they, anyway. It's like we make everything safe. Do you remember, I don't know, do anyone remember Monash Playground? In the 80s and 90s, like if you came out of that place alive, you win. And if you go there now, it's boring. Why? Because we fear the end of life. But the truth is, this fear wasn't from God. So why do we fear death if death wasn't from God? Let me explain this to you today. Because to truly celebrate that Jesus is our victor and our champion, we have to understand death. And the truth is, why do we all fear death? Not because of death itself. We fear death because we all sin. Because we all fall short. Because we all get it wrong. Because at times we're all angry or jealous or comparative or selfish or self-focused. Whatever it is that we do and are and have, we all sin. And it's not death that has power. It's sin that gives power to death. Romans says it this way in chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. 1 Corinthians 15 says it this way, we'll put it on the screen, the power of death is sin. So without sin, death has no power. Because we just go from this life to a better life. Because we were only ever intended to live on this life for a certain amount of time, but we were meant to live with Him in glory. Forever. So if death is merely a passageway, why do we fear it? Because sin gives death its consequences and that gives us fear. So let me explain it again. So sin gives power to death and death has power over the sinner and therefore the sinner, you and I, live afraid. We see this right in the beginning. When Adam sinned for the very first time, what was the first thing Adam said? When God, in Genesis, God went looking for him in the garden and said, Adam, where are you? And this is Adam's response. Adam said, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid. So we sin and sin gives power to death and death has power over the sinner and the sinner is afraid. So God wanting relationship, not wanting us to live in fear, wanting to be close with us, realize that we cannot fix ourselves. That ultimately death has the final victory because we sin and give death its power. So God, who loves creation so much, realizing that creation needs saving, said, I will send a champion. I will send a victor. I will send a savior. I will send my son to remove the sting of death. So Jesus lives a perfect life. He never hates. He never gives into anger. He never is jealous through comparison. He never has selfish ambition. He never lies. He never gives into temptation or whatever it is that seems to get me. But then I have to ask this question, if Jesus lived this life, why did Jesus have to be tortured in the way that he was tortured? If Jesus did nothing wrong, why didn't Jesus just die as we heard about on Friday? Because there had to be a sacrifice, there had to be death to pay for my sin. There had to be death so there could be life. As Pastor Tony shared, there were lambs that were sacrificed, but no lamb was ever tortured like Jesus was tortured. No lamb or sacrifice was ever made to suffer in the way Jesus suffered. The torture, the beating, the disfigurement, the abuse, the six trials, the accusation, the rejection, the whipping until there was no flesh left, the thorns that were pushed into his skull, the beating that is necessary to carry your own torture weapon, 50 kilograms of weight uphill to lay down and ultimately have nails placed into your wrists and into your feet, the cruelty. Why did Jesus have to suffer in the way that he suffered? You see, death didn't want Jesus to die. Death wanted Jesus to sin. Because death itself has no power over you. It's only the power that sin gives to death. Is that the wages of sin is death. Is that the power of death is sin. So death wanted Jesus not to die. Death wanted Jesus to sin. So every beating, every blow, every rejection, every accusation, every moment of an isolation was an opportunity for Jesus to sin. And at any point during every torturous moment, every rejection, every blow, every whip, every thorn, every beating, every nail, every accusation, everything that was thrown at Jesus in those last hours, if he had opted out, if he had accused back, if he had fought back, if he had hated back, if he had moved his attention to himself for just a moment, he would have sinned and death would have won. Yet he never did. Come on, like a prisoner of war that has the secret to end the war, that is being tortured, that if he just releases the secret, suddenly it is all over. He held his tongue and never lied, never accused, never escaped, never thought about himself, but instead he bore every beating, every thorn, every accusation, and every whipping because Jesus would not sin. He did what you and I couldn't do so that ultimately death would not have power. Because death without sin is powerless. Powerless over him, and as our substitute, it is powerless over us. Amen? So when he says it is finished, it wasn't that his life was finished, it was that the power of sin in death was finished. Is that when it finished means the debt is paid in full. He has fully paid the debt for your and my shortcomings. All of my failings, every bit of thing I hold on to in my past, every mistake in who I am and what I've done and what I will do. He was saying the power of sin in death is finished over you. But he dies. So if he dies, surely death has won again. No, because he never sinned, death has no power. So you have to understand, death never took his life. He said, I willingly lay down my life. Because death had no power, because he never sinned, death never took his life, but rather he laid down his life. And because he willingly laid down his life, he could willingly pick it up again. See, the message of Easter is not just Jesus died, but it is a twofold drama. And the second part of this drama is that he has risen and he is alive. And because he lives, we live. Which is why Revelation tells us, I am the living one. Jesus is speaking. I am the living one. And now look, I am alive forever and ever. And watch this. And I hold the keys of death. He went and took the authority away from death. The one that never sinned had therefore, death had no power over him. So therefore, because it had no power over him, he lays down his life, goes into death and takes the keys. He takes the authority. He takes the power of death away because he never sinned and says, all the power that death had over you is now removed. removed. It's like someone purchasing you something and saying, I give it to you and here's the receipt. I purchase it for you. It's yours forever and ever. He said, I never sin and therefore I lay down my life. I go and take the authority of sin and death away. I hold the receipt and as your substitute, I come to give you life and life to the full. Amen. Because death can't intimidate you anymore if he has the keys. If he holds the keys, death has no power over you. So even if the worst were to happen, even if I don't get healed, even if life doesn't change, even if one day I leave this earth and go to the next, if I know Jesus, death is no longer a prison but a passageway into glory and into a greater life. Amen? So what's the first message of a resurrected Savior? It's do not be afraid. Because man sinned, and sin gives power to death, and death has power over the sinner, and the sinner is afraid. The story of the garden. But now in Matthew 28, in the second garden, as Jesus has laid down his life and then picked it up again, it says this on Resurrection Sunday. Is there, I nearly drank my water with the lid on. Take that off. Is anyone doing well on Resurrection Sunday? Watch this. The angel said to the woman, read this with me. Do not be afraid, for I know that you come looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. We'll go to verse 8. So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said, and they came to him, clasped his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, read it with me, do not be afraid. This is the story of Easter. This is the story of humanity. This is the story of our champion. That one sinful man gave death its power and we are afraid. But the story of our victor is one sinless man causes death to lose its power and we need not fear. So death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is a sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over death, sin and death, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our champion. Amen. Come on, praise him this morning. Keys can come. So this is the good news of Easter, is you can stop fighting for victory, you can fight from victory. Is that you don't have to live your whole life trying to be victorious and trying to be whole and trying to have it all together, but you fight and strive from a place of victory in Christ Jesus. This is why he is our victorious banner. This is why he is high and lifted up. Do we have our own crosses to bear? Yes. And do we die to self and lay down our own selfish dependency? Yes. But even he is not surprised by our inability because his grace is sufficient for my weakness. So three things this means. If he is our victor, if he is our champion, if he is our king, if he is our Lord, we wear his name. Wherever you go, as a follower of Jesus, you wear his name. Not just when you come in on Easter Sunday. Wherever you go, like a sports fan that proudly wears their jersey and the team's logo on their shirt. We wear the name of Jesus on our chest. Like a concert goer that buys merchandise just to show everyone, hey, I purchased the ticket, I'm a follower. We wear that on our chest. We wear the name of Jesus. It's what Revelation 22 verse 4 says, that one day when we see his face, his name will be written on our forehead. It is the name. It is the name of our victor. It is the name of our champion. It is the name of our Lord. It's the name of our Savior. It's the name of our King. It's the name that saves all who believe. It's the name who gives peace to all who seek it. It's the name that has the power to heal. It's the name that gives access to the Father. That name, Jesus, that we wear will provide the answers for every person that goes looking. Whatever your need, whatever your lack, whatever your ask, whatever you need. So to the hungry, He is the bread of life. To the builder, He is the chief cornerstone. To the dreamer, He is the light of the world and the bright morning star. To the artist, He's the fairest of 10,000 and the altogether lovely. To the entrepreneur, He is the hidden treasure. To the thirsty, He is the river that never runs dry. To the one who's looking for beauty, He's the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. To the grieving, He's the one that brings tidings of great joy. To the judge, He's the man without fault and the one without guile. To the leader, He is the King of kings. To the weary, He is the giver of rest. To the teacher, He is the word made flesh. To the preacher, He is the word of God. To the sick, He is the great physician. To the broken, He is the wonderful counselor. To the wavering, He is the faithful and true. To the servant, He is the good master. To the wondering, He is the good shepherd. To the hopeful, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. To the sinner, He is the savior. And to all of mankind, His name is Jesus. He is our victor. He is our champion. And His kingdom will know no end. You see, we wear His name because in His name embodies everything you could ever need. So whether in here or beyond here, we are followers of our champion, not just fans. That we are the church, not just churchgoers. That we are Christ-like beyond Christian. And we are the redeemed, not the religious. And we proudly wear the name of our victor, our Savior, our King, and our Lord wherever we go. Amen? So if He is who He is, and He's done what He's done, if He saved me, redeemed me, and did what I could never do, if I no longer fear and now I have freedom, I firstly proudly wear His name. And secondly, we speak His name. See, there are benefits when you speak the name of Jesus. Matthew 18 says, when we come together, two or more or three or more gather together, ask in His name or agree in His name, He'll do it. See, my dad, his name was Glenn Greenwood. And Dad was a police officer. It costs to be a police officer, but there's benefits for your family. So, have I ever been pulled over by another police officer? Maybe. Have I ever, as they asked me to get my license, mentioned my dad was Glenn Greenwood, police officer at Holdenhill Police Station for over 30 years? Definitely. Did I maybe not have to pay the fine because my dad is who he is? For sure. Because I mentioned his name. One of the benefits of a police officer is that they used to be able to get half-price McDonald's. So I remember when I was older, going into Mobbery, and Dad wasn't there, and I went to one of the people in the front row and said, my dad's Glenn Greenwood, I get half-price McDonald's. And they said, excuse me, are you a police officer? And I said, can I see the manager? I saw Luca. He came, and my dad's friend came from the back. I said, hey, I'm Glenn's son. Do I get half-price Maccas? And he said, you sure do. And I got half-price McDonald's that day. Tell you why. Because I said my dad's name. I remember in Mildura, when I was about 5 years old, in the swimming pool. And without knowing which was the deep end, I remember jumping in the deep end of the pool. And for what felt like was an eternity, I was swallowing water and I was going under and I was going under. And what must have been with one last breath, I somehow got my mouth just above water and just shouted, Dad. Yeah. I don't even know how he heard, but somehow my dad heard me call his name. there was this huge fence. And Dad wasn't an athlete. But somehow my dad jumped over that fence, dived in the water, and pulled me out while I was drowning and rescued me. See, we have a father. We have a brother. We have a friend. His name is Jesus. And if you just call on his name, there are benefits to calling on the name of Jesus. There is provision from calling on the name of Jesus. And there is salvation when you call on the name of Jesus. You can call on him in need. You can call on him in trouble. To pray in Jesus' name is not a magic phrase. It is a declaration of humility as we approach God confidently on the basis of Jesus' victory. He said, I can go, you have had victory where I can't have victory. And that you paid the price so I could have life and freedom. So you can boldly wear his name, but you can also call his name. And the word says this, the Bible says this, that if you speak his name, you shall be saved. In Romans chapter 10, it says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you're here today and you know what it is to fall short, to get it wrong, to be followed by regret and shame from your past, to live in fear and control of tomorrow, to know your shortcomings and to not live fully free, if you know what it is to feel captive and in bondage and limited and restricted, we're not saying today join religion. We're not saying just be a fan. We're saying Jesus made a way for you. We're saying he paid the price that you and I could never pay, that he willingly suffered and died so that your punishment could be taken on his body, but he didn't stay there. 3 days later, he rose again and he says today, you are forgiven. You don't need to be afraid any longer. That he came to give you life and life to the full. He wants to be a friend that rescues you, a brother that stands with you, a savior that makes a way from you for you. He wants to be your Lord and Savior.
I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I'll tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about him, he loved you and he has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed his love. So he sent his son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, he said, I will take their place. So he died and rose again so that his death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and his life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did and when you invite him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good and loves you. He's a father, he's a friend, and you can invite him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe he's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I pray you forgive me for my past and you walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know your grace, your forgiveness, your peace, your purpose, your joy, and your hope into my life. I ask you to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. You know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer, or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.